Good evening. Welcome, everybody, to Bishul Part 5. Last week, just to review quickly what we did last week, we talked about the different possible ways that one could hasten cooking, accelerate cooking that are usher, like stirring, like covering, putting a lid on something, like moving something closer to the blech. Then we began the wonderful sugya that we are in the midst of now. Yeah, hold on, let's review first, then you'll ask the question, then we'll go further. We talked about the totally new discussion about Kli Rishon, Kli Sheni, Kli Shlishi, ladles. That's what we're starting now. So last week we talked about the fact that cooking, of course, on a fire, that we don't need any, you don't need to come here tonight to know that you can't cook on a fire, but once you take a pot off the fire, that cooking, we found out last week, is considered cooking Mida Araisa. We saw a few applications of the fact that it's d'oraisa in the halachas of meat and milk. If you're not sure if a little bit of milk, even though it's a suffix, might have fallen into a hot pot of meat soup or chalin, so that would be a suffix d'oraisa. We also saw that while something is in a kli rishon, meaning it's in the utensil that was heated, the soup pot, even after you take it off the blech, even if you take the crock pot off the heating element, you cannot put in flavoring, you cannot put in salt, you cannot add water or ice to cool it off. And similarly, you can't, once you pour soup into a bowl or ladle soup into a bowl, once that cools down, you cannot return it to that original pot. That was last week. We saw also, in terms of a Kli Rishon, that if you're going to put something in the Kli Rishon just to warm up a little bit for a minute or two, that's also aser, because we're concerned that it will, you'll forget it will stay there. And the Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa added, even if it's going to go off on a Shabbos clock, that prohibition still remains. The only time that we're allowed to put something that could cook into a Kli Rishon is if you pour so much water that the cold water will diffuse the Yad Seledes Bo heat of that hot pot, then you can. If you put in such a big quantity of water that it's not that the little bit of cold water is going to get hotter, but that there's so much cold water that you're adding is going to cool off whatever is there in the hot pot, that is okay. And what else do we talk about? Finally, we talked about things that are okay. Let's start the story right now, talking about Kli Sheni. The story with Kli Sheni starts with a story. And that story is in the Gemara in Shabbos Daf Mem Amud Beis, 40b. And the story goes like this. Rav Yitzchak Bar Avdimi is recounting that one time he was following his Rebbe to the bathhouses. The Gemara is full of good stories about Rabbanim following their Rebbe's to bathhouses and the like. And here is just one of them. And he's following his Rebbe to the bathhouse, and I asked him, Rebbe, I'd love to warm up some oil for you. I guess it was on Shabbos, it sounds like. I want to warm up some oil for you, I guess, to have warm oil after the bath. I don't know why you're not allowed to smear oil on, but whatever it was, maybe he wanted to drink oil. So, could I put, I have a jug of oil, I want to put this jug of oil into the hot pool. Apparently the hot pool was heated up perhaps by a fire that was underneath the pool, that was next to the pool. That's how they used to have hot pools in those days. And the Rebbe said, no, don't put your jug of oil. Again, he wasn't going to spill the oil into the water. He just was going to take this jug, sit it, submerge it, not fully, but submerge it, let's say, 9/10 of the way down, 3/4 of the way down, so that the jug is sitting in this warm water. It will warm up a little bit. I don't want it to stay there for a long time, but just to warm up, take out the chill, and then the water, the oil will be more pleasant to drink, more pleasant to have on my salad. Maybe they liked, you know, we're used to cold salad dressings, maybe they liked warm salad dressings. So can I do that? So Rebbe said, no. Don't take your jug of oil and submerge it into the hot water here. Rather, take the hot water, pour it somewhere else, into what we call a Kli Sheni, and take your jug of oil that you want to warm up and put it into that Kli Sheni. That's the end of the story. What happens after you have a good story in the Gemara? The Gemara says, Shema Mina, we hear from this, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, as many halachas as we find out from this. In this case, Shema Mina Tlat. What does Tlat mean? I'll give you a good hint next time you learn Gemara and you come up to a tough. Tough in Aramaic is often equivalent to a shir. In Hebrew, tzlat means three. Tshma min atzlat. We hear from this three halachos. First of all, that theoretically oil is something that could boil, that could cook. Okay, why is that significant? Not for now. Secondly, what's most important to... let's get to that. Lastly, secondly, here we weren't talking about wanting to boil up oil. We just wanted to take out the chill from the oil so that it would be room temperature, lukewarm. We weren't trying to boil it up. We see that even if you want to make something a little bit warm, not so hot, that also constitutes bishul, because he wasn't able to put the jug directly into the hot pool. That's the halacha that I mentioned 3 minutes ago, that even if you want to put something in for a short time that it won't cook yet, we're worried that you might forget it there until it does become hot. Okay? And the third halacha that we see from the story is kli sheni einu mevashel. A kli sheni, it's only worried that, well, I'm sorry, we're only worried about heating up the oil, being mevashel, the oil in the pool itself, but once it's removed to a second utensil, I am allowed to put this cool oil into that second utensil. This is the source in Shas for the fact that kli sheni einu mevashel, a second utensil, meaning I have the pot that's on the flame, that's poured into a second utensil, be it a cup, be it a tureen that I'm going to bring to the table, that, says the Gemara, is not mevashel. The Gemara said tlat, I hear a fourth. Some of you might be familiar with something that comes up in houses where there's a little baby who drinks bottles, and you want to warm up the bottle with formula in it, with milk in it, so that's very convenient. During the weekdays, all you do is you turn on the water on hot, and if you live in the Heights, sometimes the water could be really, really boiling, scalding hot, and you just hold it under the hot faucet for a minute or two in the hot water. So that's good on Shabbos, on weekdays, but on Shabbos you can't turn on the hot water faucets, because that's going to cook the cold water that's coming into the boiler in the basement. So how do we warm up a baby bottle? So you'll say, well, what's the problem? There's a bottle in the middle of the liquid inside, of the powdered liquid and the powder baby formula inside, or the milk inside. So what's the problem? There's a bottle around it. You see from this story, there was oil inside a jug, and the Gemara still said you cannot submerge the jug into the Kli Rishon, because you might make the oil inside warm up. You see from this an direct application to a baby bottle, you cannot take a baby bottle and put it into, let's say you have a kettle or something, and you want to warm up the baby bottle, you can't put it into the kettle, even off the flame. Or a pot of soup, I don't know, let's say you have a pot of baby milk, a pot of formula, most formulas are milchiks, you want to put it into, warm up the pot of soup, that's not okay. But once it is in a cliche, and if you take a hot water from the urn into a cup or into a washing or into a sedaim cup, and then you put the bottle in there, that will be equivalent to the Gemara's discussion of taking a jug of oil and putting it into a klisheni. That will be good. Okay, now let's find out why this is so. Specifically, why is it that a kli rishon cooks, and we said that it cooks even on a d'oraisa level, again, off the fire. I have a hot pot of soup and I put something in there, I'm chayav mi d'oraisa for cooking. But if I pour that into a second thing, all of a sudden it's not mevashel? Let me just illustrate what the question really is. Let's get into numbers. Let's say I have a pot of soup that I took off the fire 8, 9, 10 minutes ago. So on the fire was boiling, it was 210, 205. On the hot plate it was 200. I take it off, now it's 5, 10 minutes later, it's down to 180 degrees. Definitely more than Yatzla. It's both very hot, it's burning hot. So that is going to cook me d'oraisa. Oh, but let's say I take a pot of the soup, or I take my cup under the urn. I have boiling water coming straight into my cup. It's now 204 degrees. It's hotter than the other case where the kli rishon is only 180, 185. Here I have a kli sheni that's even hotter. And according to halacha, this kli sheni is not mevashel, even though temperature-wise it could be even hotter than a kli rishon. So it's very clear, and all the poskim can point this out, that we are not just looking at absolute temperatures in the sense of what's hotter, what's not hotter. Because you could have, theoretically, a kli sheni that has a higher temperature than the Kli Rishon, and yet the Kli Rishon halachically will cook, and halachically Kli Sheni does not cook. We have to understand why that would be so. Here there's a very important Tosos on that very Gemara that had the story of the bathhouse in Shabbos Daf Mem Amud Beis. Tosos asks this question. He says, what's the difference between a Kli Rishon and a Kli Sheni? After all, you could have Yad Saladas and a Kli Sheni. It's just as hot. So Tosos says that the difference lies in the walls. The wallage of a Kli Rishon were themselves heated up on top of a heat source. So even after you took the pot of soup off the flame, it still contained in a container that had walls that were heated up, and therefore, since the walls themselves were heated, they will retain its heat. As opposed to pouring it from that, from the urn, from the soup pot, into either a cup, a tureen, those walls of that cold cup, that cold tureen, that empty tureen or cup, those walls were never warmed before. And therefore, the walls that it has are hochos umiskaros. They're going to cool down the liquid inside of it. Now let's analyze what Tosus is saying. I remember when I took high school physics, probably because when I took physics in college, I took the physics for basket weavers, and my high school physics was on a higher level than my college physics. That's my own fault, though. But we learned about vectors. Vectors means that when you look at a force, you can't just look at how much force is being exerted from one body onto another body. You also have to look at the direction of the force. And that's what the word vector is. Vector is the force with the consideration of which direction it's going in. So here you have two forces. You have two pots, whatever, a pot and a cup. The pot is a Kli Rishon, and the cup is a Kli Sheni. We don't just look at the absolute power in them, at the force, the heat force within them, how much temperature there is, how hot one is, how hot the other is. We also look at which direction the heat is going. We take into consideration not just the absolute heat, but where it's going. If it's in a pot that was on the flame, it's staying hot. If it's in a cold cup that now is filled with boiling hot water, the water might be hotter right now, but bishul won't happen in it because it's in a trajectory of cooling off. Right now it's hotter than the pot, but it's not going to be mevashel because the walls are cool, because they were never heated up on the heat source, and it's going in the direction and the vector of less heat, even though right now you might actually have a higher temperature in the container. That is the foundation for the halachas of Kli Sheni Einu Mevashel. And if we pause here, life would be very easy for many of us. I can't put anything or do anything with the pot of soup or with a hot water urn. But once I put it into something else, it's free for all. I can do whatever I want with my Kli Sheni. That's if I stopped here. The problem is that we can't stop here because there's another Mishnah. There's a Mishnah in Maseches Shabbos, Daf Lamed Tes, Amud Aleph, 39a. And there it talks about certain kinds of foods. The closest food that I could consider to today would be a very salty herring. It's talking about a food called Maliach Yashan, something that's an old fish that was salted, preserved by salting. And the salting sort of makes it edible. For example, like when you have smoked lox, is that fish cooked? Lox is not cooked. Lox is raw. But what makes it cooked is either the smoking or the salting that they do. So this was a fish that was so salted that it was practically edible, but either needed a little bit more oomph to make it edible, or you just need to remove the salt. I'm not sure which one it was. So they would pour hot water directly on it from a hot water urn, or they would dip it in to a Kli Sheni. I don't remember exactly what, it's not clear in the Mishnah what they did. Either they would be washed off in hot water. And the Mishnah says that that's Asur on Shabbos, because you're cooking the fish, even though it's not being put directly into a Kli Rishon. You see from this Mishnah that there are certain foods that are very sensitive, very delicate, that can even be cooked in Kli Sheni, God bless you, that can be cooked even in water that is not a Kli Rishon. So what we have here is a little bit of a predicament. Because I know the Gemara elsewhere said Kli Sheni does not cook. Here the Mishnah is telling me that there are some foods that it does cook. So what's the rule? Obviously there are different kinds of foods. So which are the foods that, okay, once you're in a Kli Sheni, it can't cook? And which foods are so delicate, so sensitive, that even if they're in that lower level of heat, or that lower that trajectory of heat that's pointing downwards, that they will not cook. I'm sorry, that even if they're in that cliche, they will cook because they're so sensitive and they're so delicate. Which is which? So, the Rishonim point out, Sefer Yireim, most articulately, explains that when you have these two Talmudic sources, the Gemara that says cliche doesn't cook, and the Mishnah that says, oh, but some foods it does, you realize that cooking is not just an objective situation of where is it. It depends on the food. There are hard foods and there are soft foods. That's the lashon of the Yireim. Dvarim rakim, soft, dvarim kashim. Things that are hard that take more to cook them. And therefore, says the Yireim, ein anu bekiyin. We are not experts nowadays. He's lived 1,000 years ago, a little less. We are not certain what is considered a hard food that will only cook in a Kli Rishon, and what is considered a delicate or a soft food that will cook even in a Kli Sheni. And therefore, even though the Gemara says that a Kli Sheni doesn't cook, but there are some things that do, and we don't know which. And therefore, bottom line comes out, we don't know what are those delicate foods that will cook even if they're only in a Kli Sheni, in that cup from the urn or that tureen that I poured the soup into to bring to the table, that might also cook, even though it's only klisheni. And I don't know about any given food if it will or will not cook. So what do I do if I don't know something? And the question at hand is a question of a potentially maybe a daraisa. We're going to be machmir. And therefore, halacha l'maisa, we cannot put anything into a klisheni, with a few exceptions which we'll talk about right now, because even though klisheni ain't a mevashel, some things do, and we just don't know what is and what isn't. We mentioned this here about 3 or 4 weeks ago in our series, and I'm just going to just draw your mind there just to review a little bit for 30 seconds. When we were talking about baked items, you want to put your matzah, you want to put your challah, you want to dunk your piece of cake into your coffee. So we said that we're concerned that even though they were baked already, there will be significance to boiling them after it had been baked. Yesh bishol, achar afiyah, it is prohibited to boil food items that were previously baked. And we said you can't even boil them in a klisheni. Why? Because we don't know whether these food items, challah, matzah, cake, are soft or are hard. And therefore the Shulchan Aruch paskins, as we learned 3 or 4 weeks ago, that you cannot place baked items into a cliche, and you have to wait till it gets to your bowl, the ladle, and then to the bowl, which already is further than a cliche, because you got a soup pot, to the ladle, to the bowl, it becomes either the almost, sort of the third cli, and we'll talk about ladles not today. So that's just an example that we saw, that you cannot put something into a cliche because we just don't know what is soft, what is hard. So just one halacha l'maisa comes very clearly, besides what we just said, not putting matzah, breaking matzah or bread into a klisheni. If you have, and we'll talk about how to make tea next week, we're going to have a whole shiur just on how to make tea. But let's say you have instant tea. And yes, we'll see soon why you can use instant tea in a klisheni. We'll talk about that in a minute. But you want to put some lemon in your klisheni. Well, unless you just have hot water, you want hot water, you have a sore throat. You want to have hot water, you want to just put in a little slice of lemon, a little slice of orange to give it some flavor, grape, I don't know what, to give it a little bit of flavor. So that will be aser, because klisheni ainu mevashel, but we don't know which are those things that it does cook in, therefore I cannot put lemon in a klisheni tea. Now that we talked about what you cannot do, let's talk about the important things. What can you, yes, put into a klisheni? If I could remind you of something that we learned 4 weeks ago, 3 or 4 weeks ago, we talked about liquids that were once cooked but are now cold. Like soup that was once cooked, or maybe coffee from the fridge, you know, iced coffee that was once cooked but now it's cold. So those things, there was a machlokas Rishonim that we discussed. If you heat up things, liquids that were cooked already, can you heat it up again? So the Rama said for Ashkenazim, it's a machlokas, should you, shouldn't you? As long as it's still warm, you can. But once it's cooled off, don't heat it up anymore. That's how the Rama paskin 3 or 4 weeks ago. But it was a machlokas whether pre-cooked liquids can be heated up again. So since it's a machlokas anyway, and you're dealing with a klisheni, it will be permitted to put pre-cooked liquids, even if they're cold right now, into a klisheni. So for example, if you have your pot of soup that you poured into the tureen, and it is a little bit hot, or you don't have enough because you have more guests than you thought, so you want to add some cold soup, because you still had some in the fridge, you didn't realize you're going to have so many guests, it will be permitted to pour that cold soup into the hot klisheni soup. Let's talk about some more significant applications. Last week and past weeks, we also talked about salt, which is boiled in the manufacturing process, and then it is dried out. Sugar, which is boiled in its manufacturing process, now it's dried out. Not just salt and sugar. Instant coffee is boiled in its manufacturing process and then dried out. Instant tea. I'm not talking about bags. I'm talking about that's going to be next week. But instant tea in the sense of the powder. A lot of most powders that we make drinks with, even probably chocolate powder, they were boiled up with a liquid, then dried out. So those, we saw last week that since they're going to dissolve when you put them into water, they're considered to be lach. And therefore you shouldn't put them into hot water. But since again, even if they are lach, even if they are considered liquids, there's a machlokas. Once something is cooked, can I boil it up again or can I not? So since it's a machlokas, so you can be lenient in a klisheni. And therefore, halacha lemaisa, you can put salt, sugar, instant coffee, instant tea, any of the pre-cooked mixes directly into your klisheni. So, if you want to make coffee, you do not need a klisheni to make coffee. If you want to make coffee, put your coffee cup under the urn, which is the klirishon. Hot water goes directly into your cup is a klisheni, put your coffee directly in it. But, I'm only talking about instant coffee, which is pre-cooked. If you have Turkish coffee, if you have roasted cookie, that was not pre-cooked, meaning pre-boiled. It was baked. Roasted is dry heat, is baked. And therefore, that would be afia. And we learned that yesh bishalach afia. We are worried about cooking something that has only been cooked with heat, baked before. That would be a problem. But if something was always boiled before, like instant coffee, instant tea, pre-cooked mixes, you will be permitted to put the mix, that pre-cooked mix, directly into the klisheni that came from the urn. Similarly, most baby bottle, baby formula, is pre-boiled when they manufacture it. So therefore, it would also be able to be put directly into a klisheni. Any questions about this? John? Yes. In a few weeks ago, we were talking about Ein Bishalach HaBishal, that once something's already cooked, you don't have to worry about cooking it again. We said that when there was a liquid that was already cooked, but now it's cold, so are you allowed to heat it up again? And that was machlokas. So usually we're machmir. We wouldn't heat up cold chicken soup on Shabbos. But it's machlokas. According to some, you can, some you can't. So here, where you're only doing it in a klisheni, it will be permitted. Because here, we're not... Here, typically, klisheni shouldn't cook. Really, klisheni doesn't cook. We just don't know what are those things that maybe are sensitive and delicate, and therefore they do cook. So if you have a question, whether or not a suffix, whether or not you're allowed to heat up this soup or not. And really, I'm allowed to put it in the klisheni, the Gemara says. But we're worried that maybe there are some things that are very delicate, and they will cook even in a klisheni. There's some things, a few things, we just don't know what they are. So you could assume that if anyway many people allow it, even in a klirisha, to put this pre-cooked liquid, even in a very hot klirisha. Even those who are machmir there and say, don't put a klirisha on here, it's already a klisheni. It's already officially not supposed to cook at all in a klisheni. So sort of saying it, we have two leniencies that we're putting together to get a halacha maisa leniency. The urn going into the cup, that cup under the spout is the klisheni. Yes. So we're saying that you could take hot water urn, open the spout, pouring it into a cup, that's the klisheni. You could put coffee directly in there. Instant coffee, but not Turkish coffee or not roasted coffee. Excellent question, excellent point, that is correct, and we're going to talk about why that is afterwards. What we talked about so far is we're going to say the water came into the cup first, and afterwards you're going to put the water into the klisheni. The other option of having the coffee on the bottom of the cup as you're pouring water is going to be a little bit more machmir, a little more stringent, because here you have water falling from a kli rishon directly, and that might be more powerful than the water once it's already sitting in the klisheni, having been cooled off by the walls of that cup that you're pouring it into. But we're going to talk about that in about 20 minutes. So that you don't have to do that. For tea, we're going to see next week there might be people who do that for tea. But for coffee, anything that has been previously cooked, like instant coffee, instant tea, you don't have to, that's not necessary. Everybody agrees to this. Okay? Okay. As we mentioned, really, 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 klisheni doesn't cook. We just don't know about those few sensitive, delicate foods that might, yes, cook in a klisheni. But if there are some foods that I could be sure that don't cook in a klisheni, I'm allowed to put them, those cold foods, into this boiling hot klisheni water. The Gemara actually gives me one or two examples of foods that don't cook in a klisheni. Could anyone figure out one food that does not cook in a klisheni? I'll give you a hint. I said it 15 minutes ago. I mentioned a specific food, it was actually a liquid, that when it was put or submerged in a klisheni, we said, okay, that's okay, you don't have to be worried about that. We talked about submerging oil into a klisheni, right? The rabbi said, take water from the hot tub, from the hot pool, into a klisheni, and then submerge oil in that. Obviously, what was he telling me? That oil definitely is not going to cook in a klisheni. So that's one Gemara. So the Gemara says that oil, you don't have to worry about. So if you want to put oil directly in a klisheni, go ahead. That doesn't happen too often. I'll tell you what does happen. The Gemara also says that water is something that will not cook in a klisheni. To cook water, it's only going to cook in a kli rishon. Something that was itself on the fire, is on the fire, or was on the fire. Kli rishon, that will cook. But in a klisheni, water is not so delicate enough. Obviously, you see, a delicate doesn't have to do with how hard a substance it is. Water will not cook in a klisheni. And therefore, halacha l'maisa, and this is probably the most important halacha l'maisa that we're talking about, you could, if you have a klisheni that's too hot, right? You take hot water and you made yourself coffee. Straight from the urn into my cup. And I put, as we said, you could put your coffee, instant coffee or your instant tea mix or your instant cocoa powder or whatever it is, or baby formula into that klisheni. But it's too hot. It's too hot. Certainly for a baby, it's too hot. Even for you, you want to put an ice cube in it. You want to put some cold water into it. Could you? Well, based on what I just said, that just like Shemen, the Gemara said explicitly, cannot cook in a klisheni, so too the Gemara articulates clearly that water cannot cook in a klisheni, and therefore it will be permitted to, again, you have your klisheni, not klishlishi, you have your klisheni of hot coffee, boiling hot coffee, instant coffee, boiling hot instant tea, you can put an ice cube, you can put cold water directly into that boiling hot cup of coffee. Yes, Sophia.
So, how much does the produce let's say you want to
last week we talked about Ramosha. We said that if there are, if something was previously cooked and it is cold now, so you should avoid, if something was previously cooked, you're allowed to put it in a klisheni. Your question is not that. Your question is saying, could I pour directly from the urn into those droplets? Right? Could you have the water, hot water from a Kli Rishon, pour directly from the hot urn onto those droplets, right? That's more serious. That's talking about Iri from a Kli Rishon directly onto cold water, and that we're going to be Machmir.
So we're saying that if something was in a Kli Sheni, you could put an additional...
If you have hot water in a Kli Sheni, right, you have hot coffee in a Kli Sheni, and you want to cool it off, you can put an ice cube in it.
Okay, so the droplets is really because of the Iri from a Kli Sheni.
That's right. Yeah. Oh, so that's going to go back to what we talked about 3 weeks ago. If you have hot liquids, that's still hot. That's still not hot. It's still warmish. Warm enough that it would pass for a warm drink. So that we hold, that the Ramah holds, Ashkenazim hold, Ein Bishel Achar Bishel. I'm allowed to pour directly from the hot water urn into my half cup of tea. Why? Because Ein Bishel Achar Bishel. It's already cooked. The heat is still there in that half a cup of tea that I have left. That happens all the time. Right, let's say... Again, you make your coffee, you make your instant coffee or instant tea, and you drink a little bit, and by the time you drink it slowly, it already, either you want more, or it's already cool, you want to warm it up a little bit. So since it's still warm the way it is, you'd love it to be warmer, but it is warm already, so that is considered cooked right now, halachically, even though it's a liquid, it's not boiling hot, it's not even Yatzel Edispo anymore, but it's still warm enough that it would pass for a warm drink, warmish drink, so that's considered cooked right now, in Bishel Achar Bishel, I could pour directly from the hot water urn into that cup with the half cup of tea that's mediocrely warmed right now. Rebecca? Because the hot water drops have cooled down already. Once they've cooled down already, they lost their, the term we used last week, with their cookability. If they are still warm, then you don't have to dry it out. Correct. If those drops are still warm, or still warm enough that they would pass for a warm drink, then you could pour the hot water directly into it. You don't have to worry about drying out your cup. Correct. Good all around? Okay. There's always one. Yes. Okay, so what I'm talking about right now is instant tea. Tea bags, that's going to be only next week. We're not talking about tea bags today. And we'll see why. Tea bags are going to be a whole different story. But we're only talking about instant tea that have already been boiled. The instant tea, that those crystals have already been boiled in the process, in the manufacture.
What about milk?
Terrific question. That's the next. We're going there right now. Okay? So we said you could... put all these instants that have been pre-boiled. You could put water, because the Gemara says water and oil don't cook. So you could put that in Kli Sheni. What about other liquids? Is it just water and oil that are the exception and can be cooked again? What about other liquids? Like milk? Like honey? Could I put those into my Kli Sheni? Let's say I want to put a little bit of honey into my instant tea mix. Let's say I want to put some milk into my coffee, in my Kli Sheni. So if the Gemara tells us that water I'm allowed to add and oil I'm allowed to add, but it doesn't say milk or honey. On the other hand, it says these two liquids. Maybe that just means liquids could be, liquids don't get boiled unless it's in a Kli Rishon, and in a Kli Sheni they won't get boiled, and I can't add honey or milk. So that is the question we have to ask ourselves now. Is it only water and oil that will not cook in a Kli Sheni, or all liquids? So here we have a machlokas. We have machlokas. The Shulchan Aruch Harav, who's the Shulchan Aruch Harav? That was the first Lubavitcher Rebbe, who was not just the author of the Baal HaTanya, which is a wonderful Hashkafa Sefer, but he was a gigantic Gaon Olam in Halacha as well, and he wrote his, what's called the Shulchan Aruch Harav, and if you read the Shulchan Aruch Harav, you see that as he writes in the style of the Shulchan Aruch, just dry halachos, he phrases things in ways that sort of through the back door and, by the way, answer up all kinds of different questions that Achronim ask. Just by the way he phrases different, you know, instead of... Rashi does that on Chumash also. Like, instead of telling you, oh, there's a question, oh, here's the answer, Rashi just explains a point to sort of navigate you through the questions that you don't even realize he's asking and answering. So Shulchan Aruch also does that a lot in his Shulchan Aruch. So Shulchan Aruch Rav says that just like we know water and oil are two liquids that we are taught cannot be boiled, cannot come to be cooked in a klisheni, so to all liquids. Those are just examples of the category called liquid. And liquids cannot be boiled, cannot be cooked in a klisheni. Klisheni is not strong enough to cook liquids. And therefore, any liquid you can add to a klisheni, you can add honey, you can add milk, you can add any other liquids that you'd like. What do we know? That's a Gemara. Shemen, we know that's a Gemara. Even other liquids. But we don't paskin like that. The Mishnah Berurah, Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa, I saw, I think, in the Shabbos kitchen. Halach Lamaisa, they go with the path that only those two liquids that were specified, Shemen and Mayim, are not subject to be cooked in a klisheni, but all other liquids will be problematic. And therefore, theoretically, we'll see why I'm adding the word theoretically, I will not be able to put honey into my instant tea in the klisheni. I will not be able to add milk, chas v'shalom. I will not be able to add milk to my klisheni coffee. This is terrible for the Jews, isn't it? But Baruch Hashem, Louis Pasteur came around in the late 1700s or 1800s, and he taught us that we should pasteurize our milk, and he taught us we should pasteurize our honey. Yes, you could look it up for yourself in www.benefitsofhoney.com. Yes, as long as the honey is not labeled unpasteurized, it is pasteurized. And nowadays, most commercial honey is pasteurized as opposed to honey you get from the local honey farm. Thank you, benefitsofhoney.com. So therefore, honey is all pasteurized, regular commercial honey is all pasteurized. What does pasteurized mean? It was boiled. Even though it was boiled very quickly, flash boiled or something, but ultimately it was boiled, and anything that was boiled, pre-cooked, even though it's cold now, we said, that was the question you asked before, since there are many posts going to say that once something is boiled, it is not subject to cooking again, usually we don't do it again, but since anyway, not putting things into a klisheni is only a chomra, meaning, I don't mean a chomra like, oh, if you're only the front people do it. I mean that it's halacha, but it's halacha because we just don't know, maybe this is going to cook in a klisheni. So since pre-cooked things, like pasteurized honey, like pasteurized milk, many poskim hold, is not subject to cooking again, and klisheni, really, we assume, should not cook, klisheni and a mevashel. So putting those two together, will be permitted to put all those things that are pasteurized and any other pasteurized things that you have in your liquids, you have in your refrigerator, your cabinet, all pasteurized liquids, will be permitted to be placed into your klisheni. I used to like putting little bits of orange juice in my tea. There's a time that I liked Celestial Seasonings Mandarin Orange, right? Mandarin Orange, yeah. There's like a Chinese box, orange box with like Chinese theme pictures on Celestial Seasonings. I went through a Mandarin Orange tea phase for a good few years of my life, and I liked adding orange juice to that. So, well, that's a tea bag. That's a whole different discussion. I'm sorry, I'm mixing things up. Okay, so let's not go there. Let's say you have Mandarin Orange iced tea mix, right? And you want to add a little more orange flavor. Orange juice is all pasteurized. It's all been boiled before. And therefore, you will be permitted to place it into your klisheni. Any questions about pasteurized liquids? Great. Let me ask you a question. We said before that the whole reason that distinguishes between a klirishon and a klisheni, after all, we said temperature could be the same. It could be a klisheni has an absolute temperature that's even hotter than a Kli Rishon. We said the only reason that the differentiation Tosis explained was because the walls of the Kli Rishon are hot, keep the heat in because they're heated, but the walls of a Kli Sheni, Lashem Tosis, holchos umis kararos, they proceed and get cooler as they go. My question to you is, what about a thermos? Is a thermos considered a Kli Rishon or a Kli Sheni? So let's say, for example, you don't have a hot water urn, and you don't want to leave a kettle on all Shabbos, so before Shabbos, you take a hot water urn, you fill it with boiling water 5 minutes before Hadlaka. You close it tightly. Friday night, 11 o'clock at night, you want to have a tea right before you go to sleep, a few hours later. Now, could you put the iced tea mix directly, the tea mix, or the coffee, directly into that thermos? Well, is it a klisheni? Or does it have a halacha of a kli rishon because the walls maintain its heat? So Baruch Hashem, Chazon Ish, even though we often associate him with chumras, Chazon Ish here is mekel. It says a thermos is considered a klisheni. And if you think about it, actually it does make sense. Because the whole point is that the walls of a kli rishon, of a soup pot, of a kettle, of an urn, have been warmed on the flame. Anything that hasn't been warmed on the flame will not, well, it's going to cool things off. Here, the whole idea of a thermos is that it won't let the walls won't cool things off. Okay, but nevertheless, still, from a halachic perspective, the heat, certainly the walls aren't making it hotter. At best, they are trying to maintain the heat as best they can with whatever vacuum they have between the two walls of the thermos, but they certainly aren't going to maintain the heat as it was. If they try to maintain it, they're still not going to make it hotter, like the walls of a kli rishon. Okay, so any questions about kli rishon? I think we will finish the halachos of kli rishon with this. There's one kli sheni. I'm sorry, kli sheni. We'll finish kli sheni with this. Let's talk about. I really skipped a step. Excuse me. Baruch Ata Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam Shehakol Nehiyah B'Dvaro. The step that I skipped is between talking about Kli Rishon and speaking about Kli Sheni, there's something between those. And that is the pouring, the hot water that's pouring, the flow of water, the Irui means pour, that's falling from the spout. Meaning I could cook by putting something into a hot pot of soup, into a hot water urn, whether it's on or off the fire, irrelevant. And then there's a different kind of cooking that I could do from the hot water that's spilling from the spout or that's pouring from pouring the soup. Before it gets to the kli sheni and is sitting in the kli sheni, when I'm pouring and it hits something either midair or sitting on the bottom of the bowl or cup, that's called irui, the pouring of a kli rishon, because the hot kli rishon water is poured. It hasn't yet touch the walls to cool down yet for the kli sheni, but at the same time it's not in the pot. So how do we consider that liquid, not in a kli rishon, not in the heat of the kli rishon, but still not with the coolness of a kli sheni? It's in the middle. So we're going to consider it as actually a middle ground between the kli rishon and a kli sheni. Tosos in Shabbos, Mem Beis Amud Beis 42b, actually brings a machlokas. Whether this water, and it's very significant, because what are we trying to explain here? We're trying to say, the question that you asked earlier, I think, Ali, did you ask it? You have a cup, you have your coffee crystals on the bottom. In a kli rishon, I cannot put my coffee crystals. In a kli sheni, I am allowed to put my coffee crystals. Could I put my coffee crystals on the bottom of this cup and have the hot water pour directly from the kli rishon onto those coffee crystals? It's not in a kli rishon, but this water has not yet been cooled by the walls of the kli sheni, of the cup. So, one opinion in Tosfos says that the irui, the pouring, is cooler than the original pot. It's rather like a kli sheni. And the other opinion says, no. Since it's coming from a kli rishon, it's still considered a kli rishon. And we're not going to go into the sources for each of these opinions, because they're actually quite interesting, but they don't relate to Hilchos Shabbos. What they do relate to is a lot of halachos in Bishul don't just apply to Bishul B'Shabbos. Where else is Bishul important? Well, last week we talked about one of the very important areas, which is the halacha of Basar V'Chalav. In Kashrus, things only become treif if they are transferred from something treif to something kosher with heat. And heat means Bishul. So if you have something in a klisheni is never hot enough to make something treif. So if you call me up and say, Rabbi Orlian, I had a cup of coffee with milk in it, and I stirred it with my milchika, with my fleshika spoon. So that's the heat, and that's the heat that's transferring the fleshika spoon, the fleshik from the spoon into the milchika coffee, or the milk in the coffee into the fleshika spoon, is not kli rishon heat. And therefore, that probably won't, again, definitely call, and we'll discuss it when you call, but usually that will not cause a transfer of flavor, and therefore it will not be us, and nothing will be us. The coffee will be kosher, and the spoon might be kosher, because Bishul didn't happen if it's not the heat of a Kli Rishon. So that's where they really talk about the halachas of Iri Kli Rishon, the pouring from Kli Rishon, not in the context of Hilchas Shabbos, but rather in the context of Hilchas Kashrus. So what do we do when we have a machlokas? Is it Kli Rishon? Is it Kli Sheni? Tosos has a very unique middle position. Does it cook or not cook? How could you have a middle position? Says Tosos, it seems to me that Iri is not as hot, as not as powerful as cooking in a Kli Rishon. It's not as weak as that which a Kli Sheni cannot cook, but rather it cooks Kedei Klipa, the tiniest surface level like a peel. That means if I would take an apple and put it into a pot of boiling soup, whether on the flame, off the flame, the whole apple would be halakhically cooked. If I would take an apple and put it in my Kli Sheni, probably, let's assume apples are not delicate, so nothing would cook. But if I would pour hot water onto the apple, the red or green peel would cook. There's enough heat energy in the pouring, the iri from the Kli Rishon to cook the peel of the apple, but the white, the inside of the apple, the heat will not penetrate that deep. The heat is not strong enough to penetrate that deep to cook the inside of the apple. And that is how we paskin. So therefore, halacha l'maisa, iri Kli Rishon will cook the littlest bit, and therefore I will not be able to pour my urn, I will not be able to open the faucet of my urn to fall directly onto my mixes, onto my instant teas, onto my instant coffees, because that is going to cook a little bit, but it's going to cook, and therefore I first have to fill my cup with hot water, my clean cup with hot water. Now the hot water is in a cold cup with the walls are in a trajectory downward. I'm permitted to put my instant coffee, my instant tea, into that Kli Sheni. And believe it or not, let's say somebody did cook with the direct flow of water. That flow of water, the Mishnah Berurah says, is also even b'diyevet. If you cook something with the direct flow of water from the Kli Rishon, from the urn, or the kettle pouring onto something, even b'diyevet, that food will not be permitted to be eaten. So therefore, the rule that we're coming out with, as far as Iri is concerned, is that whenever I am pouring from a Kli Rishon, from a kettle, from an urn, always pour into an empty bowl, an empty cup, and add whatever you want to add afterwards. Similarly, when we talked about adding water to soup or water to whatever else, make sure, of course, that you pour the hot soup into the dry bowl, and afterwards you could add your water. Let's finish off with Kli Shlishi, which we're not really going to get into too much, because that has most to do with halachas of making tea, and that's going to be next week's topic. Next week's topic is making tea, God willing. I think I might have said last week that we'll talk about it this week, but I guess we didn't. But first, Kli Shlishi. In general, what is the halacha of a Kli Shlishi? Regular foods cannot cook in a Kli Shlishi, period. Foods cannot cook in a Kli Shlishi. The problem is, that's regular foods, but there are some exceptions. What are some such exceptions of foods that are so delicate, so sensitive that they could cook even in a Kli Shlishi? Well, eggs. We saw in the Mishnah a fish that's too salty to eat. That kind of, I don't think that's on the market in our, you know, in our community. That would be a problem. And then the big question for next week is tea leaves. You have ground up these very, very thin tea leaves. They are so small, so thin, so dark, and so easily made into hot tea. So sometimes they could be a powder, they could be just the small leaves. Will tea leaves cook in a Kli Shlishi? And that, God willing, we'll talk about next week. Any questions? Yes. If you did do it directly underneath the Irui, I did not want to mention the word instant coffee in that sentence, because instant, nothing will be usher b'di'evet if there is an opinion who permits. And since there is an opinion who permits cooking cold liquids, and instant coffee is considered a cold liquid because it's immediately soluble, there are some who permit it, so it will never be usher b'di'evet. But if you would cook something, what could you cook? If you would cook something in the pouring of a liquid other than a pre-boiled substance, then it would be usher, but not instant coffee. Yes? Excellent question. No, Irui Kli Sheni is automatically considered a Kli Shlishi. Thank you. Even though Irui of a Kli Rishon is on a lower level than the Kli Rishon, but Irui of a Kli Sheni is... I'm sorry. Even though Irui of a Kli Rishon is more stringent, more chamer than a Kli Sheni, even though Irui of a Kli Rishon is more stringent than a Kli Sheni, Irui of a Kli Sheni is already distant enough that it has all the leniencies of a Kli Shlishi. Thank you. Yes? Excellent question. If you want to warm up a baby bottle by putting it directly in the floor of a hot water urn, since it only cooks the outside of the klipa, and you have the klipa there is the baby bottle, that should be permitted. You're not cooking, nothing's happening to this plastic. You're not cooking the plastic. Therefore, I believe, or it's probably been cooked already. Therefore, certainly if you boil your baby bottles when you buy them to just sterilize them, which a lot of the companies do say they should do, so they've already been cooked before, but that would be correct. You can heat your milk inside a hard plastic baby bottle or even a soft plastic baby bottle if the hot water on the outside is just going on the walls, and that will be the klipa that's being cooked, and the stuff inside is not, even if it's being warmed up, is not going to be halachically cooked. Excellent point. Thank you. Yes? That is correct. If you want to, I don't know why you want to put your instant coffee in a Kli Shlishi, but if you want to, you could pour it directly from your hot cup of Kli Sheni water onto it. But you might as well just put the instant coffee into your Kli Sheni. Yes, but that would be correct. Yes. Hot cocoa, I'm assuming, has already been cooked in the manufacturing process. If I'm correct, then you could put that directly into a Kli Sheni. Yes. Yes. Oh, good question. Quaker oats and a Kli Shlishi. So besides the problems of lush, which there might be ways around of making a mush, I would venture to say that the instant oats, I don't know, I have to look into it. Right, the package question, have they been pre-cooked or not? And is it... Right, so there might be a problem of lush. So I have to get back to that. Excellent question. Please let me check in with me during the week about that one. Okay, thank you very much, and good night. Reminder that next week we will not...